censorious thug.
Regular viewers of Rebel News know full well that one of the beats we cover closely is something we call transanity. It's that creepy cross-section in which radical transgenderism collides with mental illness. We feel we have to cover this beat because, well, the woke mainstream media types want nothing to do with it. It's either too third rail for them or they actually believe that so-called trans women are real women. Pathetic. Especially given that right now, female sports and female shelters and even female prisons are being invaded and infiltrated by fake females, men pretending to be women. Some don't even make an effort, really. If 300-pound bearded Bubba merely says he's a chick, hey, that's good enough for the woke wimps in charge. It's also disturbing for so many reasons. First, that the institutions that should be the gatekeepers are allowing this perversity to fester in the name of that unholy trinity known as diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then there are the human rights racketeers, those various unelected, non-accountable commissions and tribunals that are now setting the agenda. You allow a man to brutalize a woman in the name of diversity? Hey, that's not human rights. It's more like inhuman rights. Another disturbing factor is a lunatic fringe comprised of, well, basically young biological women, from rugby players to shelter workers, who are perfectly fine supporting male gender-bending grifters. I think this is the end result when those of a certain age go through the indoctrination process via our increasingly woke education system. Indeed, who would have thought that women would be the biggest ally for those who are waging war on women? Meanwhile, the modern-day feminist movement, well, they're sitting this one out. Why? Well, I guess like mainstream media, maybe the issue is two-third rail for them, or perhaps they support this woke nonsense too. Either way, they are wrong, and they are cowards. All this aside, the other day I was thinking of how transgenderism used to be depicted in pop culture of yesterdecade, i.e. the good old days. Oh, and please, if anyone can sell me a DeLorean DMC-12 with the flux capacitor option, I will once again purge my line of credit. 1984, here I come, and I speak of the actual calendar year, not the novel. In any event, it is fascinating to see how transgenderism was depicted in movies and TV shows back then and how it is increasingly being depicted today, which is to say transanity is being normalized and even celebrated. I'll provide some examples on this front in the minutes ahead. But back in the day, men pretending to be women was a mockable concept because, well, transgenders are highly mockable. Look, when a biological male rugby player injures his female counterparts, and when a 50-year-old man swims and changes with girls as young as 13, and when one attends a female varsity college volleyball game only to discover that almost 50% of both starting rosters are comprised of dudes, well, this is beyond parody, wouldn't you say? So let's stroll down memory lane and check out some of my favorite trans depictions and ask yourself, could any of this content be produced today, especially in that woke joke biosphere of the bizarre known as Hollywood? Now, for starters, the trailer for It's Pat, which was released 30 years ago, essentially tells you all you need to know about what you're going to get on the big screen, had you decided to buy a ticket to see this movie, that is, which precious few people did in 1994. While this one joke pony bombed at the box office, that's not the point. Rather, just imagine this script being pitched in 2024. I think that would amount to a career-limiting move in the Tinseltown of today. Here, check out the trailer.
It's peculiar.
Yes, and yet wondrously provocative.
A cultural event of apocalyptic significance.
It's almost as if...
Why?
It may disturb you. It may even shock you.
Just leave me alone.
Oh, God.
What the hell are you?
What do you think?
Are you a brother or a sister?
Well, I'm an only child.
As God is my witness, I will uncover the mystery that is Pat.
Pretty creepy, huh?
Pleased to meet you. Gorgeous.
Do you have a photo of you in the nude?
Yes, I do, sir. I need some feminine napkins.
I am in hell now.
You never know when Aunt Wilma's going to stop by for lunch.
It's a word for what you are.
Charismatic?
This summer, if you think it's a man...
Pat, I'm in a towel. Should I be embarrassed?
Ouch!
If you're positive it's a woman...
Oh, this is something we'll both enjoy.
Then there's one thing for sure.
What's Pat's laundry like?
It was, bras, panties, boxer shorts, jock straps.
It's Pat. The movie.
Oh, Pat. Is that a banana in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
No, it's a banana.
Come on, even if you are a proud member of Team Trans, you gotta laugh. Then again, what am I saying? The vast majority of transgenders I've met are entirely humorless. In fact, I find them to be bitter, hostile people. I mean, this obsession with pronouns, and even when you try to accommodate them, they freak out. You can't win. Remember this encounter last year at the York District Catholic School Board in Aurora, Ontario?
You're just a bigot. You can go.
Oh, what makes me a bigot, ma'am or sir? I'm not sure. I didn't misgender you, did I?
Oh, please, go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's not very ladylike.
Oh, now you're fucking misgendering me. Ladylike.
Oh, well, what are you exactly?
None of your fucking business. What are you?
But you said I misgendered you. If I don't know what you are, how can I not misgender you?
Alas and alack, I guess along with certain appendages during the transitioning process, the transgenders also lose their funny bones, not to mention the ability to, think logically. Moving on, check out this scene from what I believe to be the most overlooked, underrated superhero movie of all time. I speak of 1999's Mystery Men, with a roster that includes such superheroes as Mr. Furious, the Bowler, and the Shoveler. Mystery Men, well, they're essentially a very low-rent version of the Mighty Avengers or the Justice League of America. At one point, the Mystery Men are forced to beef up their ranks, so they stage an audition for aspiring superheroes. Naturally, a collection of misfits show up for the tryouts. These wannabes are neither super nor heroic, including this guy. Or is it gal? Or is it something in between? Check it out.
I think I like it.
I'll say. I'm the ballerina man.
Oh, I don't need to see that. Thanks.
Now that's funny, but that was during the tail end of the 20th century, folks. Today, methinks Ballerina Man would get his or her own comic book, and the material would be treated with such reverence that Ballerina Man would make the average Batman comic look like an issue of My Little Pony. Now, from the big screen to the boob tube, perhaps the longest running gag vis-a-vis so-called trans characters is Jamie Farr in the role of Corporal Klinger in MASH.
MeTV presents The Klinger Collection.
And away we go.
First, this lovely cinnamon-colored ensemble with a fox stole. Next, a spaghetti-strapped floor-length gown.
I don't usually wear floor-length during the day.
A wide-brimmed bonnet accentuates this green polka-dot dress. This aqua housecoat is accessorized with pilot goggles and fuzzy pink slippers. A salute is never a wrong move in this Max Klinger original. there's also a maternity line of clothing.
Should someone in your condition be smoking a cigar?
And a historical line featuring the Queen of the Nile.
At your service, sir.
You know, this running joke was all about Corporal Klinger trying to get a Section 8. That's a discharge notice deeming a person mentally unfit for military service. Obviously, a male dressing in female attire is mental as anything, man. Certainly, it was considered deviant behavior in the early 1950s when the Korean War raged. But alas, in Joe Biden's America, a male dressing as a female, oh, he doesn't get a Section 8. Rather, he gets promoted to a 4-star officer. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Mr. Rachel Levine. Yeah, they say diversity is our strength, but you know, when it comes to the military, folks, I say tanks rather than transgenders. That's our strength. And say, how about Kramer from Seinfeld identifying not as a female, but as a child? And by the way, why does that ring a bell? You know, a mature male thinking he might be a little girl, but I digress. Anyway, Kramer's gambit was all about gaming the system so that he could go from chump to champ.
Ready for Kumite?
Yes, Sensei.
Fighting stance. Hajime, begin!
And there you have it. What was an outrageous parody in the 1990s is reality today. Case in point, check out this story that made for international headlines a while back. Oh, but almost zero coverage in Canada, even though it is a Canadian story. Yeah, I speak of Stephanie of Toronto, whose real name is Paul. He is a 52-year-old husband and father of seven. But he left his wife and kids to live as a transgender 6-year-old girl. He now resides with an adoptive mummy and daddy and spends his time playing with dolls and the couple's young grandchildren. Yikes. Check out this photo. So much to unpack here, but what strikes me is the baby pacifier in his mouth. How many 6-year-olds have you ever seen who are still sucking a pacifier? It's so weird. And get this, in the wintertime, he drives a snowplow. How does Paul slash Stephanie have a driver's license, by the way, if he's 6 years old? This is why I subscribe to a different kind of MAGA in addition to MAGA Classic, namely Make Asylums Great Again. Now, moving on, check out this clip of the late, great John Candy portraying Soviet Union weightlifter Vasily Alekhislev. In this sketch, Vasily is inexplicably hosting his own TV variety show. And you know, this snippet, for some reason, it reminds me of the saga of Canadian powerlifter April Hutchinson.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me.
Now, who can't laugh looking at obvious males in sequin festooned attire passing themselves off as real woman weightlifters? And yet, in Justin Trudeau's Canada of 2024, dudes pretending to be chicks are being welcomed into women's powerlifting. Oh, and setting records in the process, by the way. And if you all have a problem with that, keep your mouth shut, because when powerlifter April Hutchinson sounded the alarm that males competing against females is inherently unfair, her sports authority, the Canadian Powerlifting Union, handed her a 2-year suspension. For what? Speaking the truth? It's amazing. All during COVID-19, we were admonished to follow the science. Whatever happened to the science of biology? 'Twas ever thus that, with the exception of equestrian and auto racing, males and females were always segregated by sex for obvious reasons. But in the name of trans inclusivity, biology 101 has been relegated to the scrap heap of obsolescence. Of course, transgenders were not always depicted as comedic characters. Sometimes they were portrayed as uber creepy villains. Norman Bates from Psycho springs immediately to mind. Yikes, even without Norman slash Norma sporting a knife, I'd be screaming. But the needle on the transgender creepometer goes right off the charts when it comes to the notorious Buffalo Bill from the brilliant The Silence of the Lambs.
Now it places the lotion in the basket.
Please. I want to go home, please. Please.
It places the lotion in the basket.
I want to see my mommy. Please, no. I want to see my... Okay. I want to see my...
Put the fucking lotion in the basket!
Oh, so disturbing. Yet, here's the thing, folks. Could Psycho or The Silence of the Lambs be made today by a Hollywood film studio? Well, the answer is yes, but on one proviso, that the trans character would be portrayed as the hero, not the villain. Because as the woke mantra today goes, if it's good, it's trans, and if it's trans, it's good. As previously stated, the examples I just cited go back decades. So what's the lay of the land in pop culture today when it comes to transgenderism, you may ask? Well, check out the latest from Dylan Mulvaney, who almost single-handedly killed off the Bud Light brand. He's just come out with a new music video. No humor or horror here. Well, not intentional humor or horror, at least, just a celebration of perversion.
Ring the alarms immediately. We have a code pink emergency. Calling women of all ages, girls like me, gotta learn the basics. Last look, quick change to champagne. Playing catch up as we miss the pregame. Pull up the group chat where you at, drop.
You know, I think I'm now going to go and boil myself right now. Indeed, Dylan Mulvaney no longer fantasizes about being a woman anymore, but rather he wants to be a little girl. Does anyone else find this disturbing? Oh my God, Anheuser-Busch, what the hell were you thinking? But that snippet is the new way transgenders are being depicted, not as clowns, not as psychos, but rather they are so many empowered Barbies kind of supporting a Ken-like surprise package, if you know what I mean. Oh, and even if you feel like puking, you will hold your nose and applaud. That's because transgenderism is no longer about acceptance, but rather affirmation. And if you have a problem with that, you'll pay a price via the woke cancel culture mob. That's why drag queen story time is such a big deal these days. That's why both Marvel Comics and DC Comics now have several transgender superhero characters. Holy heartbreak, Batman. But that's the thing. It's all about normalizing the abnormal, beginning at the elementary school level. Hey, be it marketers on Madison Avenue or Marxists on campus, they all subscribed to the same mantra. Get them young, get them forever. Bottom line, this whiz-bang glorification of the pretend people isn't about equality. If that were the case, transgender people would be depicted as both heroes and villains, just like everyone else's. Rather, the unspoken strategy is to make transgender aspirational, to make it not just normal, but downright cool. Therefore, if a trans character appears in a movie or a TV show, he, she, it will be depicted as a paragon of truth and virtue. To paraphrase that classic line from Animal Farm, all gender identifications are equal, but some gender identifications are more equal than others. Now, folks, speaking of radical transgenderism, you may recall the curious case of the Windsor, Ontario trans cat. That would be Cody Detremont, a.k.a. Desiree Anderson, who now identifies as a cat. Cody became Desiree a while back in order to get into a woman's shelter and knocked me down with a feather. He was promptly charged by Windsor police for assaulting a real female, assaulting her in a sexual manner, actually. Not sure what the status of that is, but we went back in mid-March to Windsor again to look for the ever elusive trans cat. We went to some other places where he thought he might be hanging out. Here, check out our most recent report on trying to get the trans cat of Windsor on camera. David Menzies for Rebel News here in Windsor, Ontario. And folks, I'm standing outside the headquarters of the Windsor Police Service. And I have to tell you, the reason we were down in Windsor was due to another follow-up on Cody Detremont. Do you remember him? He began to identify as a female. Desiree Anderson got into a shelter, promptly sexually assaulted a real female, was charged by Windsor police, and we were hoping to get an update on that story. And then we were tipped off about another story involving transanity, not involving a criminal, but involving a member of the Windsor Police Service, a trans individual that my sources tell me the force is bending over backwards to accommodate, perhaps even over-accommodate. Now, it's an unbelievable tale. It involves an officer by the name of Jane Roller. Despite the first name Jane, this is a male. He is a biological male. I understand he's over 6 foot, some 250 pounds, received allegedly a baseball scholarship in the US. So he's quite the dude. He is allegedly going into the female change room and the female bathrooms for real police women. And many of them are very upset about this. They don't like the idea that they have to get naked next to a biological male. They don't like the idea that he's not changing in the male change room. And I'll tell you, folks, the last few days I have been reaching out by phone, by email, a personal visit right here to the Windsor Police Service, and I can't get any answers. As a matter of fact, I phoned yesterday Yvonne Ume. She is the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Officer. We had a short phone conversation. Officer Ume never did get back to me. I'm still wondering about those questions. Now, I was also told, if you can imagine, that an individual by the name of Bryce Chandler, he's the Director of Employment and Labor Relations, and he's also the legal counsel for the Windsor Police, he has allegedly threatened police officers that if they continue to complain about Jane Roller, they will be criminally charged. That's right, criminally charged. Harassment, I suppose, but it is astonishing that in some regard, police officers with decades of service are being told to shut up, go along with this, or you yourself might be facing jail time. So I called this morning and I was told to direct my calls to communications branch. Oddly enough, you can't get through by phone to the communications department of the Windsor Police Service. So when I explained that to the officer, I was given an email and I emailed seven specific questions regarding
Jane Roller. What is your response to those policewomen who are very uncomfortable with a biological male allegedly invading a female safe space? I understand that some of these female police officers are devout Christians and Muslims. Why are they not being accommodated? Two, if Mr. Roller is passing himself off as a female, then why does he play in a male baseball league in the summertime? Three, I've been told that if police officers continue to voice complaints about Mr. Roller, they will be charged with harassment. Is this indeed true? I have been told that the real reason for hiring this individual is virtue signaling, as opposed to actual merit. In other words, having a so-called trans woman on staff makes a statement regarding Windsor Police Service's commitment to diversity. Is this really the unspoken strategy behind hiring Mr. Roller? Five, there are also concerns that this individual might have mental health issues. These concerns are further amplified by the fact that this individual has access to lethal force. Has his mental well-being been taken into consideration? Six, I understand an all-gender bathroom slash change room at police headquarters is under construction. Is that correct? If so, will Mr. Roller be compelled to use this facility? If not, why? Wouldn't this be a solution to the real women on the police service that are upset with him allegedly changing in the female change room? I have not heard back from anyone. I can tell you my sources do not want to come on camera, entirely understandable. That is at best a career-limiting move, at worst potentially a charge of criminal harassment. It doesn't look like they are going to say anything on the record. Maybe the strategy here is if they don't say anything, then the story dies on the vine, that it goes away. But it is not going to go away. Why is it, if he's so gung-ho on being a female police officer, he still is one of the guys come baseball season? It's like he's having it both ways. Well, folks, we have been in Windsor for 2 days now. So far, have not heard a peep from any official police spokesperson. I don't know if the strategy is to hope that this story goes away if they don't comment. That's not going to happen, as I mentioned earlier. But I have done some research, and you know, I came across a fascinating document, 41 pages long. It's entitled Windsor Police Service Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Strategic Plan 2022. And it makes for fascinating reading for all the wrong reasons, really. The report is obsessed with race and religion and sexual orientation and gender identification. It seems to be some kind of woke document lifted from a progressive university campus. It has very little to do with actual law enforcement. But it's interesting because the chief, Mr. Belair, when he was appointed chief, it was the same year in which this 41-page diversity report came out. So maybe this is a manifestation of this commitment to DEI, the idea of employing someone like Jane Roller as a token, as a symbol of, look how diverse we are. We have our very own transgender officer on the police service. Incredible. I also did a little research into Officer Yvonne Ume. She's the DEI officer. One of her great achievements, given glowing publicity a while back, was getting those rainbow-hued police uniforms during Pride season or Pride month, whatever it's called. It's kind of odd though, isn't it, folks? I mean, isn't the whole idea of a uniform uniformity? Why do you pick and choose certain color schemes for certain causes? I don't think that's something to celebrate, quite frankly. And also with Mr. Bryce Chandler, this is very interesting. When he was appointed in December of 2018, this is what was written in the Windsor Star at the time. Quote, Chandler vowed in the coming months to improve diversity among employees, end quote. That's kind of funny, you know, Mr. Chandler, white, able-bodied, male, he might be one of the most undiverse persons when it comes to the liberal woke mob, but obviously not leading by example, not stepping down and having someone more diverse replace his six-figure job. So in the meantime, I will be on this story. I know there are a lot of policewomen especially that are upset with Jane Roller on the force, and they don't like the accommodation. And now that I think of it, folks, do you think maybe I stand to be charged with a form of harassment? I did say policewoman, didn't I? According to a Canadian Supreme Court justice, isn't the correct term persons with vaginas? Police persons with vaginas? I suppose that's the politically correct way of identifying these officers. Well, if it is, sorry guys, I'm old school. You'll just have to lock me up again. For Rebel News, I'm David the Menzoid Menzies. Folks, have you had enough of transanity? That intersection where insanity crosses radical transgenderism? Well, we sure have. Please go to our petition, transmadness.com. That's transmadness.com. Sign the petition, and if you're able to, kindly make a donation so we can count on you to fund our journalism to keep telling you the other side of the story.